Listen to that bell. Thank you, Randy. Please stand as you're able to do so. And I'll be back here. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, by whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, you are holy and merciful, holy and mighty. You are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In baptismal waters, our old life is washed away and in them born anew. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean. Quench our thirst and nurture both crops and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving water of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of new creation. And I invite you to turn slightly and read from the wall. Wash away our sin and all that separates us from you. Empower our witness to your resurrection. Strengthen our resolve, seeking justice for all. Satisfy the world's need through this living water. Where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns now and forever. Amen. Children are now dismissed for jam. So if you are a child and you want to go to jam, please jam away.
Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from Acts, the second chapter. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, "He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of all that, all of us are witnesses." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read responsively Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you."
As for the holy ones in the land, they are noble, in whom all is my delight.
Those who choose another God multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have probably heritage.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, also my heart instructs me.
I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved.
Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure.
For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let the faithful ones see the pit.
You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The second reading is from 1 Peter, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nail and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. And this is the Sunday that I'm sure all Thomases in the room can confess that they love, that it is included in every single lectionary of every single year, the week after Easter. Well, the second week of Easter.
I believe in Thomas. I hear him every Sunday.
So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. They ran to tell the disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them right there where they were in the midst of their fear and great joy and said, "Greetings." And they fell and worshiped at Jesus' feet, and Jesus said, "Do not be afraid." Sometime later, the doors of the house were locked where the disciples had met, and they were fearful. And suddenly Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus met them right there where they were in the midst of their fearfulness and said, "Peace be with you." And then a week later, the disciples met again. This time, Thomas was with them. And the doors were once again shut because they were once again still in fear. And this time, they believed. But Thomas, who wasn't with them, was there in unbelief. And Jesus once again arrived in the midst of them, met the disciples in their fear, met the disciples in their belief, and met Thomas in his unbelief, right there where they were. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And he turned to Thomas and said, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and place your hand in my side." Jesus met Thomas exactly where Thomas said he needed Jesus to meet him. Right there in his fear and in his unbelief. And Thomas believed. Just like last week when Jesus, the week before, I'm sorry, when Jesus met the disciples in their fear. And just like last week on Easter morning when they were leaving the tomb, Jesus met Mary and Mary right there where they were, where they needed to be met in their fear and in their great joy. So are you picking up on a theme yet? Other than the disciples need to get a better locksmith. Jesus' followers, his friends, and his disciples, they were afraid. They were confused. They were joyful. They were in disbelief. I saw him die. I saw his limp, bloody corpse. We took it, we wrapped it up, we laid it in a tomb, we closed that tomb up, and there Jesus' body lay. And you expect me to believe that he showed up in a locked room when I wasn't there? You guys are playing a trick on me. This is a prank, a really mean prank. I'll believe that when I see it. The resurrected Jesus, with wounds in his body, showed up to his friends and disciples where and how they were. He said, "Do not be afraid." He said, "Peace be with you." He ministered to his friends and his disciples where and how they were. And that sounds nice, doesn't it? Jesus showing up in person to comfort us in our fear, to satisfy our doubts, to satisfy our unbelief, to celebrate with us in our great joy. But alas, we're about, 2,000 years too late for that, and maybe on the wrong side of the planet. Aren't we? I'm sure there are times when you could use Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to walk along with you. I know I could. I talked about this in a recent pondering, but I think it's relevant again today. Most of you know, unless you're new, most of you know that I have epilepsy. And most of you also know that a little over a year ago, a week before Christmas that year, I had a seizure. It was my first in 9 years. And within a week of that seizure, I started having panic attacks. It's just, I didn't know they were panic attacks. So on Christmas Eve, about a week after that seizure, I was at my parents' house. And I felt like there was this seizure that was coming on. I felt like I was going to have one, except for the seizure never came. And I wanted the seizure to come so I could get it over with. But it wouldn't happen. So I lay down on a bed, didn't go away. I went and I started walking around outside in the cold, hoping that would help. That didn't help. So I went back and I laid down in bed, and that didn't help. And eventually, like 2 hours later, the feeling went away. A little over a week later, this happened again, but this time it was much worse. I was in bed. I was in bed, and I could feel my heart beating. It was beating really fast. And I have this fancy little Apple Watch, and it was telling me that my heart was beating at 150 beats per minute. I wasn't running a marathon. I was laying in bed. 150 beats per minute, my heart and my throat. Andrea went over and opened the windows and let the January air rush in. And it didn't matter. I laid there waiting for a seizure to come that never came. And eventually we went to the emergency room, and they injected me full of drugs to stop what they told me was a panic attack. And eventually, I felt better. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I'd love to say that in the deep, dark valley of those 6 months, that I was not fearful, that I trusted God, and that I knew that the one good shepherd was right there beside me. But I'd be lying. Is today the day I'm going to have another seizure? Is today the day that one of my children is going to find me unconscious again, like Lydia did the day I had that seizure? I didn't see Christ. I didn't feel Christ. I just felt anxious and afraid and very alone. I can remember thinking during one of the panic attacks, the worst one, and if I didn't so strongly believe in the importance of us speaking openly about our mental health, I wouldn't say this out loud. I remember thinking, if this is what my life is going to be, living with seizures and panic attacks, I don't want it. Think about that. I don't want this life. And I had never thought that way, not once. I was in a deep, dark valley. I was helpless and I was utterly alone. I felt like I was in a room locked away by myself, and I really could have Jesus just popping in and saying, "Peace be with you, do not be afraid," to meet me right there when and where I was. I really could have used the resurrected Jesus, God made flesh, to sit with me in my suffering. But I am 2,000 years too late and on the wrong side of the world from where Jesus lived. So there I sat alone in the darkness, in my darkness. And at this point, I hope that if any of you have listened to me for the last almost 2 years, you're getting ready to jump out of your seats and scream at me and say, "Sean, you weren't alone. There is no way you were alone." I wasn't alone? Thank you. So something gets overlooked in this gospel today, the same gospel, like I said, that we read every year on the second Sunday of Easter. And it gets overshadowed by the so-called doubting Thomas. Verse 22 says this: Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Leading up to his death, Jesus was preparing his disciples for the time when he would no longer be with them. And today, he commissions them, the disciples. He commissions them with the Holy Spirit that he breathed on them to witness to Christ, to be Christ. In the post-resurrection world, the world where Jesus was no longer walking around in flesh. And what does that commission look like? So, I'm happy to say that I stand mostly on the other side of that deep, dark valley, which is mostly why I can talk about it the way I can. And though I felt like I was locked in that room by myself, isolated, I was obviously not alone. The crucified and risen Jesus, the Jesus that had holes in his hands and his feet and holes in his side, this Jesus that had known and experienced suffering kept showing up over and over and over again. So the night of my seizure, 8 p.m. on a Friday night, where every pastor wants to be, Pastor Barry showed up at the hospital. On Sunday, you all know, Pastor Sarah showed up here so I could properly recover from that seizure. My mom shows up in lots of ways, but it's mostly through food. 3 months worth of meals delivered to eat in a single week multiple times. Like, this happened multiple times. Now, I think I mentioned a panic attack on the way to church. If not, had a panic attack on the way to church. And there's a reason I was able to lead worship that day. There's a reason I was able to lead worship that day. Because about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes before church, I had a 10-minute long embrace to calm me down from Andrea. Could you imagine having to embrace me for 10 minutes? That is Jesus level work right there. So I had another panic attack a few weeks later, and I decided I couldn't take it anymore. So I scheduled a doctor's appointment with my neurologist in Toledo. A drive that I can make by myself, but that day, physically, mentally, I could not do it. So I called my dad, and my dad said, "If you're calling to ask this, I know something isn't right." So my dad showed up. He met me when and where I was. He drove me to my doctor's appointment. And on the way home, we got Chipotle for lunch, which he bought. And it was his first trip to Chipotle, so it was a win for everybody. That's right. Lydia and Ben and Andrew, now being aware of my epilepsy, they check on me every time they think I'm not acting quite right, which... that's a lot. So, how do I put this next part? If they think I'm on the toilet too long, they'll knock on the bathroom door and say, "Dad, are you okay?" But see, what kids don't understand is sometimes you go into the bathroom to escape from kids. But sometimes, they pull a Jesus and just show up in the bathroom right there where you are. And then I have to yell, "Get out, I'm pooping." If you've ever been a parent, you get it. My counselor and my doctors, the nurses, the paramedics, as they exercise their vocations, you, the people of First Lutheran, my supervising pastors, Pastor Jared and Pastor Rich, that recognize and know my inclination for inadequate self-care, coaching me, forcing me to do better at it. The love and concern of everyone who called and texts. As I walked through the darkness, especially as I walked through that darkness, Christ and Christ's abiding love was and is wholly present in the words and the deeds of the Christs, of all the Christs that walked alongside of me. Even when I thought I was alone, or even when I wanted to be alone, like in the bathroom, Jesus keeps showing up. Jesus showed up in the locked room and said, "Peace be with you." But here's the thing. Just like Jesus had those wounds in his hand, the wounds in his side, We have wounds in our hands. We have wounds and scars, holes in our hands, holes in our sides. And you know what that means? That means that just like Jesus, we have what it takes to show up when and where it is needed to be Christ to one another. Just like all of those people were Christ's to me. Jesus has breathed the Holy Spirit on us, and through his death and resurrection, we have been freed from sin and have received his commission to us. We have been commissioned by Christ to be Christ in the world, to show up behind locked doors where people gather in doubt and fear, to accompany those traveling through those deep, dark valleys, to show up to those who are so despondent that they're asking themselves, I don't think I want this life. To show up to the unbelievers, to show up even in the midst of joy. We have been freed to show up. We are called to show up and to meet the people when and where they are. And when we do this, we truly become Christ to one another. So what else can I say other than for the Christ that showed up for me, for the Christ that I know that show up for you, and for us being freed from our sin so that we can show up time and time again as Christ to one another, to meet one another when and where we are? What else can I say other than, hallelujah, He is risen!
He is risen indeed!
And thanks be to God. Amen.
What we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who have need.
God of rebirth, the good news of your resurrection brings refreshment to a weary world. following the women at the tomb, empower us to boldly share your radical love through our words and our work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. As you breathe your spirit into the disciples, breathe your spirit of healing upon creation. Nourish the earth with sufficient rains. Strengthen us to counter the effects of pollution and destruction. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You prepared the disciples for their ministry by calming their fears and granting them your peace. Equip our community leaders. Give them a spirit of peace and hearts that burn for justice, that their leadership reflects your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You come to us in unexpected ways. Send us to those who hide in fear and question your love. Be a healing presence for any isolated by addiction, incarceration, mental illness, chronic pain, sickness, or grief. Especially this day, we pray for Karen, Janet, Joy and Stephanie, Jean, Jamie and Deb, Frida, Heidi, Kate, Bill, Kim and Katie, Deanne, Linda, Patty, Tim, Ed, Wilma, those that are touched by and those that support First Lutheran's outreach ministries, and those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Today, we also lift all healthcare workers and those they care for. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As you met the disciples on the road to Emmaus, show us your presence along our journeys. Bless our doubts and questions. Provide trusting, safe relationships for all ages to nurture our connection to you and one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the glory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
At this time, we continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
us pray. Living God, you gather the wolf and the lamb to feed together. In your peaceable reign, and you welcome us all at your table. Reach out to us through this meal and show us your wounded and risen body, that we may be nourished and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. So with Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Peter and Thomas and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe, for your mercy is everlasting from age to age. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it for his disciples to eat, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we proclaim our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us and send us forth burning with peace, justice, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the moon and stars and sun, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art
in heaven, hallowed be thy
name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table, taste and see that the Lord is good. Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated for a few announcements. I know it's a lot of up and down. I don't get it. So, congregational meeting today, right after the service. Please stay. Your council has been hard at work, and please stay to hear what they have to say and vote on whatever proposals they have for us. So the helping hands that we asked for during worship and for our missional outreach, rather than being around the table now, it is on a board in the back. If you haven't seen it, please take a look at that board and sign up as you feel called to do so. So I think that's a nice way of getting the information out there. So thank you to whoever did that. I think it's Marty. let's see. Easter lilies. Easter lilies. So if you ordered an Easter lily, feel free to take it with you today. Whatever is not taken, we will take to our shut-ins. And let's see. Donate to the noisy offering. So we will do that during the closing hymn. We will come around and collect that during the closing hymn. And finally, anything else other than that? Oh, this? Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gene Hayes' birthday party is today from 1 to 3. And it is at the Aspen Terrace Clubhouse on Snowmass Drive. She does not want any gifts, but she would like, if you do come to the party, to bring canned goods for a food drive or for the local food bank. But she does want everybody to attend it if possible. So, and it's for her 90th birthday.
All right. And finally, I'm told that our Tri-County Church Dart Ball Southern Division runner-up. This is a red trophy. What's going on? If you were part of the Tri-County Church Softball Southern Division and dartball. Did I say softball twice? Dartball, and one of these ribbons is yours, please come on up so I can award you your second best trophy. I'm sorry, that is wrong. Please come forward.
You said ribbon.
Trophy.
Oh,
trophy. So how many are there? How many teams are there? How many teams are there?
Currently 9. 2.
That's pretty good. 2.
Who's 1.5?
1.5.
We're half.
All right, you're the half team. Well, congratulations. Who's the captain? Brian? Brian, congratulations. I hope to have a blue trophy next year. but I like the runner-up.
If you want a blue trophy, call all these people
to hit that. I heard she got a grand slam this year.
No, I didn't.
What? A home run?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, all right. Thank you all for participating in that fellowship with other churches. So I think that's the important thing with dartball is it gives us an opportunity for fellowship. And if you're interested in the future, please see one of these folks. It will start again in November?
Late
October. So, all right. Thank you, guys. And with that, Thomas, I think, I'm up. Please stand as you're able to do so. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. And now, Thomas.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Serve the risen one.
Thanks.